everybody doing today? Great. Yeah, that was awesome. Good times. Yeah, no, seriously, but welcome to Life Point Church. My name is Andy Driscoll. I'm the lead pastor here, and we're so excited to have you here with us today and worshiping and celebrating what God is doing in our lives and in our community. And so we're very excited to have you here today. And today, we are going to continue on with our current message series called Sidelined. And if this is your first time out over the past couple of weeks, this message series, what we're doing is we're looking at different elements in our lives that we are allowing to come in, to creep in, and that actually put us on the sidelines, that keep us out of the game, that keep us off mission, keep us distracted, keep us not focused on what it is that God has called us to do and who he's created us to be. We're sidelined by these things. In week one, we talked about bitterness, right? How bitterness, it's a bitter, toxic root in our lives, right? And if we allow it to fester and allow it to stay there, it's going to produce that poisonous fruit. So we got to get rid of bitterness. And the only way we can do that is through forgiveness, which is not an easy thing to do. But we've got to learn to forgive. Last week, we talked about worry. One that I've had to tap into and like rehash back and forth all week, you know, because I've been kind of consumed with worry. And I think that's the enemy does that sometimes. When I'm going to speak on something, then I start getting attacked with it. So I've had to tap into this. But how we need to eliminate worry in our life and gain freedom from that worry. And we do that by doing what God asks us to do, right? Giving him the things that we cannot do. And then regardless of what happens, ultimately, we're going to choose to trust God. And that's how we begin to eliminate that worry in our lives. And today, we are going to talk about anger. Talk about anger. Again, I kind of had to tap into this a little bit yesterday as I went to the Louisville football game. It was not good. Angerness started to build. So I had to tap into this. But as we've done so far, each week of this series, I want you to be honest. And how many of you would say that you at times struggle with anger in your life? Right? Okay. I'm going to make it even tougher. How many of you all have struggled with anger this week? All right. So this is obviously something that can come into our lives and sideline us. It can be toxic. It can destroy us from the inside out or sometimes from the outside in. And we'll look at that here in a minute. But for me personally, I would say that anger has at times slipped into my life and has sidetracked me for sure. I think about just a few months ago, I guess, had to leave work to go run to the mall to try to pick something up, had to get something, I don't even remember what it was, it wasn't there, so I searched the whole mall. I'm rushing around because I got to get back to work on time, so I jump up in my car, and I'm leaving, I'm heading back to work. My windows are down, and I'm just driving through the parking lot. I'm not speeding, I'm not doing anything crazy, and a lady, you know, this lady's like passing me, and that's fine. And then she just decides to stop, and then she starts screaming at me to slow down. And so, like, I kind of got angry because I'm like, I'm not driving fast. And if you all know me very much, you know sometimes in the car is not my best moments. You know, there's tad road rage that I'm working on there. But so she's yelling at me, and you know, to slow down. So my response to her was speed up, walk faster. Not the right thing to say, not okay. But that anger, you know, it starts to build up and it begins to come out. And that's not healthy for us. It's not good. You know, I think about anger in my life that is more long-term anger, not just that, like, you know, little snapshot there, but something that kind of is there and how that is, I can look back over my life in different times where that has put me on the sidelines. It's kept me off mission. It's made me less effective with the good news of Christ. See, if I'm fussing at somebody to speed up because they yell at me, that's not Jesus. It's not. And so anger can come into our lives and sideline us and keep us off mission. So as we dive into the topic of anger this morning, I talk about how it sidelines us. I want to ask you, where does your anger lie? For you personally, where does your anger lie? Maybe for you, it's that something happened to you many years ago, an experience or someone said something to you, they hurt you, they offended you, maybe they took advantage of you, and you kind of play that over and over in your mind, and it just creates that anger, that seed of anger in your heart. Maybe you're angry at your life. You know, like, man, this isn't where I expected to be at this point in time in my life. I thought I would be so much further down the road than this, or I thought this certain event would happen, or I thought by now I would be here or there, and you're just frustrated at that. Maybe it's at work. Maybe you're frustrated at your boss because he's a terrible leader, and you're just frustrated at him, and you get this anger that comes up, or maybe it's in your marriage. You know, it's just not what you thought it would be, or it's not going as well as you thought it should, or they don't agree with you like you think they should, like everybody should agree with you, and you start to get a little bit of that anger. Maybe you're angry at yourself. Maybe you've made some poor decisions over the past, you know, few months of your life or the past year, and because of those decisions, you're angry at yourself. You've gotten into some debt, and you don't know how you're going to crawl out, and you're angry at yourself. It could be work, friends, your family. But where does your anger lie? Where does your anger lie? If you're being completely honest, maybe some of you would say that, man, I'm kind of angry at God. Man, I've been praying for this thing to happen. I've been praying that he would heal this person, or that he would heal me, or for health, and he's just not answered that prayer. Or he's not done this thing that I thought he should do. And you're frustrated and you're angry at God. Or maybe something awful happened to you or to someone that you love, and you're like, well, God, if you're so good, why did you allow this to happen to me? And you have these feelings and these emotions and this anger in your heart, and it's pushing you to the sidelines. Where does your anger lie? So let's go ahead and check out what God has to say about anger and how we can keep from being sidelined by it in our lives. And we're going to begin looking at the words of Paul found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. And just some context here. When Paul wrote this, Paul was in prison. Okay, so if anybody had a reason to be angry at this point in time, it was him, right? He could be angry here in the sense that, you know, he was out there planting churches, right? He was doing what he was called to do. He was doing all the right things. And as a result, he got thrown into prison for it. So, again, he's locked up, he's in prison, and this is what he wrote. He wrote, "In your anger, do not sin." Again, let me say that. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So, as we look a little deeper into these two verses, these two powerful verses, the first thing that we see that Paul says in this is, In your anger, do not sin. I mean, what he's implying here is that you can be angry and not sin. So anger in of itself is not sinful. It's a thought, right? So what he's saying, in your anger, do not sin. See, the Greek word, the original Greek word here for anger is orge, and it means desire, right? A desire or agitation of the soul. So it's a response to a hurt, right? So when you're hurt, you get hurt here, and then it leads to some anger at times. And he's saying when that happens, do not sin. Don't sin. And then he goes on to say, but don't let the sun go down on your anger. When I hear that, when I read that verse, my mind immediately always goes, like, I grew up in the church, I, you know, went through marriage counseling. That's the first thing that I always think of when I hear that, is marriage and pre-marriage counseling of, you know, well, don't go to bed angry. If you're in a fight, resolve it before you go to bed, right? I've heard that my entire life. When Jen and I went through pre-marriage counseling, we were told that. And we're like, cool, and we did a really good job with that at first. Until we had our first argument, like right before bed, like at night. And that complicated things. At the time, I worked third shift at UPS, and I had to be at work at 3 in the morning, so it means I had to get up about, you know, 2 in the morning. And so here it is, like 10 o'clock at night, we get into an argument about something, and I'm like, you just need to get over here. We've got to resolve this so I can go to sleep, so I can get up and go to work. And of course, that strategy was terrible. It didn't work. It didn't go well, right? But don't let the sun go down on your anger. Basically, what Paul is really saying here is to simply deal with it, right? Don't ignore it. Don't sweep it under the rug. You have to deal with whatever it is that's stirring you that creates that anger. You have to face it. You have to work through it. You have to deal with it. And then Paul goes on to say this in verse 27. He says, and do not give the devil a foothold. Don't give him a foothold. Again, the Greek word foothold is tapas, which means place, opportunity, or power. So as we break this down, he's saying, look, the longer you allow your anger to fester and you don't deal with it, you just let it sit there, the more opportunities, the more room, the more power you're giving our spiritual enemy to do something heinous with it, to do something terrible with it, to destroy you. The longer you wait, you don't deal with it. You're giving him that opportunity to move you out of the game and out being on mission to the sidelines and being completely ineffective. He's saying you have to deal with it. You have to face it. Don't give Satan a foothold. Don't give him an opportunity to attack you and to continue to sideline you. This is exactly what we see the very first time that we read about anger. We see anger mentioned in the Bible in Genesis chapter 4. All right, Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. This is involving two brothers, Adam and Eve's two sons, Cain and Abel, right? It's the first time we read about anger, and it says this, verse 6. It says, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? You see, Cain brought an offering to the Lord, and it wasn't accepted because he had the wrong attitude, right? The wrong spirit. He wasn't doing the right thing. Therefore, it was not accepted. And then verse 7, God says, but if you do what is right, or I'm sorry, if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. See, I love the visuals that we see in Scripture. They're beautiful. For me, someone like me, I like that visual. And to think about sin crouching at your door, you have no idea that it's there, and you're about to walk through it, and it's going to devour you. We've got to master it. See, but if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. We have to master anger. We have to master it in our life. We've got to do what is right and master it. But unfortunately, with this story, we know exactly how it ends, right? Cain fails to master. The sin mastered him, right? It consumes him. It takes him over, and he begins growing more and more angry, right? It grows, and it grows in his heart until finally he takes his brother out to the field, attacks him, and actually kills him. This is how toxic, this is how powerful anger can be when it's left to fester, when it's not properly dealt with. That's how destructive it can be. So we have to learn how to master our anger, right? We have to learn how to master it, to deal with it, and move past it in our lives. See, but far too often, many of us, we use all the wrong methods in dealing with our anger, right? We don't do it the right way. We typically fall, we probably say most of us fall into one of two categories when it comes with ineffectively dealing with our anger. We see that you're either a spewer or a stewer, right? A spewer or a stewer. And we'll go through these here in a second. But the stewers, or the spewers, right? We all know who the spewers are because they spew it out there, right? They're quick to express their anger. They're quick to get their anger out there, whether it be words or actions or whatever it is. When they're angry about something, everybody around them knows about it, right? Whether it be verbally they say something or they fire off a text. Or we know we've all had those, you know, get those emails that are, you know, a mile long, that have a lot of capitalization, a lot of bold print, a lot of exclamation points. You know, they're spewing that out there. They're getting their anger, they're getting it off their chest, and they feel better at the moment, right? Because they're spewers. They get it out there. And what we see in Scripture, we find that spewers express it. That's how they work through their anger. They express it. Spewers, they openly express their anger. Proverbs 29, verse 11 says, fools vent their anger. Now, I've been around some of you all long enough to know that some of you tend to vent your anger. Some of you all have been around me long enough to know that that's some of my struggle too, obviously by my story that I started with in the mall that was not very good. Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. Well, some people tend to vent their anger maybe physically, which leads to some very, very terrible consequences and destructiveness, right? Others, the majority of those spewers, they vent their anger with their words, which are equally destructive. Words are powerful. They're powerful. Scripture says that the tongue lies both life and death. You can speak life over someone or you can speak death over somebody. The tongue is powerful. Words are powerful. And spewers express it. And as they do, they typically leave a path of destruction everywhere they go. A second group of people that we see handling their anger not so great and kind of the wrong way is the stewer. And the stewers are a little harder to find and to identify because a lot of times they're sitting back quietly, right? They're holding it all in. They're letting it bottle up. They're letting it, you know, the bubble up. I think about it like a pot of boiling water, right? You have a pot of boiling water, and right before it starts to boil, it's still just sitting there. You don't know it, and then bam, it starts to boil. Well, stewards are the same way. You ask them how things are going, like, everything's great. It's good. I'm good. But see, what they're thinking in their mind is, if you look at me crooked, you're getting throat punched, right? I'm moments away from lashing out because it's in there, and they're stewing about it. And what we see is that stewards suppress it, right? They hold it in. They suppress their anger. Psalms 32, verse 3 says, "When I keep silent, my bones waste away through my groaning all day long." Again, I love the visual, the imagery of that. When I stay silent, my bones waste away. A perfect example of this is, again, sometimes I overshare to a fault, but I'm who I am. I'm transparent. But I think about a few years ago, Jen and I were going out to dinner for our anniversary. And we had a babysitter. We were excited. We were getting out of the house. We're going to go out to Muscle and Burger Bar and check it out. We had never been. So we get there. We get in the parking lot, and it's absolutely packed. So I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and call real quick and see, like, what the wait is before we get out of the car and walk in. So I call, and they're like, it's a 20 to 30 minute wait. I'm like, cool. That's not bad at all. I'm kind of surprised, but that's great. So we park. We get in, and then I put my name in, and they're like, okay, it's going to be an hour and a half to 2 hour wait. And I'm like, well, I just called and parked on. They said, yeah, sorry, we made a mistake. So then I get frustrated, but I start stewing, right? I don't spew this time. Good for me. But equally as destructive, I just started stewing. So we're like, we're not going to wait. And we get back out in the car. And then so I'm pouting. I'm all stewing and just quiet and moping around. And Jen's like, seriously, are you just going to sit here and mope the rest of the evening? Because if so, let's just go home. Right? So I'm stewing, she's spewing, and it's like not good, right? And we have to course correct quickly or we're about to have a bad night. And we did. Luckily we did. We went out somewhere else. We had a great night. It was great. But we have to recognize that both are destructive. And see, and when we stew, we may think that we're holding it back and we're not sharing it and that we're doing something positive, but in reality, it's just as damaging. Right? We're building up this wall. Another example of this in Scripture is with the story of the prodigal son, right? Many of us know that story. We know that this young boy takes his inheritance, he leaves home, he goes out and he wastes it all with just, he's out there living the life, he's just getting it in, he's doing all these things, and he ends up broke, wastes everything. And all he wants to do is come back home and just hope that he can be one of his father's servants. Because at least they're taken care of. At least they have a meal. So he goes back just hoping for that. And what does the father do? Father throws him a party. His son is home, right? He's excited. He's there. He's celebrating the return of his son. But see, there was an older brother there too, right? And the older brother, we'll see here in Luke chapter 15, verse 28, tells us what he had to say and what he did. And says, the older brother became angry. And what did he do? He refused to go in. Right? He was mad. And so he starts stewing. I'm not going in. I mean, why are we throwing a party for him? Right? Like, I mean, I've been here this whole time handling business, doing the things that I was supposed to do. I was a good son. Nobody's throwing a party for me. So I'm just going to sit out here and pout. I'm going to stew. I'm just going to stew over it. I'm going to let my anger stew I'm going to suppress it. And again, it's equally as destructive because you build this wall up from everyone around you. You cannot be on mission when you're suppressing your anger and you're blocking everything and everyone else out. You cannot be on mission. You can't be all that God has created you to be and everything that he's created you to do when you've got anger just living and festering in your heart. Whether you're stewing or you're spewing it out, it doesn't matter. They're both equally destructive. So how do we handle our anger? How should we handle this anger that we have? And honestly, it depends on what type of anger we're talking about. It depends on whether we're talking about sinful anger, which is pretty much what we've talked about up to this point, or if we're talking about sanctified anger. Sanctified anger being the things that grieve and anger the heart of God. So it depends on what we're talking about as to how we handle it. So as we begin to wrap this thing up, I want to share how we should handle each of these. And the first thing is with sinful anger, what we're going to do when that comes up in our life is we're just going to put it out. Right? I want you to think of a visual of say, a candle, right? If you have a candle and it's lit and you have that flame, you want that flame out, you just simply put it out. You blow it out, stamp it out, whatever. But you get rid of that flame, right? You put it out. And that's what we're going to do with our sinful anger. When it begins to rise up, when something happens with that anger, just simply put it out. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14 says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Again, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. If you breach a dam, it's not going to go well. Right? It's going to be mass chaos, destruction. Again, back in the mall, parking lot, made the wrong decision. Not one of my finest moments. One that I'm actually embarrassed about. Not good. One that I had to seek God for forgiveness about. But see, this person was yelling at me. Then I smart off back, something that I thought at the time was just super witty and funny and was not good. And then they start yelling back at me. And at that point, I had a choice to either continue to argue back or to roll up my window and drive away. Thankfully, I rolled up my window and I drove away. I put it out. Even though I had that moment, not good, should have just kept driving from the jump, I had to make that decision, rolled up the window, and I drove away. So what about you? What anger do you need to put out? Maybe you just need to roll up your window and drive away. Right, whatever the situation is. Maybe when you get tired, you get really angry, right? You're real short. You got a short fuse when you're tired, and you know that. So what do you need to do? I'm going to roll up the window, drive away. Like, go get some sleep. Go to bed early. Change your schedule. Work your life around that so that you're not short-tempered and angry all the time, right? Maybe it's with a coworker. You got that person at work, and they're just that one. They're that guy. They're that girl, right? They're that woman. You just know that they always have something smart like to say, or they just get under your skin and rub you the wrong way, right? Roll up the window, drive away, right? Maybe you need to avoid them for a little bit or certain points of time throughout the day. Maybe you need to just sit down with them and have a professional, honest, loving conversation. Set some boundaries or whatever it may be. Maybe you just need to spend some time in prayer and ask God to give you the wisdom and the strength to smile, right? And to keep on moving about your day. Maybe you've had some type of argument with your spouse over finances or something, and you're stressed out, and it's always a heated debate. Maybe you just need to just count to 10. You know, seeking the positive intentions there and understand that you got to work together through this. You just got to put it out. Put that anger out. Roll up the window. Drive away. Right? Maybe you're angry at yourself. Again, because of maybe some decisions that you made, some poor choices that occurred, or whatever it may be. And you're angry at yourself. You need to start viewing yourself as God views you. And he views you as his beautiful masterpiece. You're his child. If you believe in him, you've accepted him as your Savior, you are his child, you are his son, you are his daughter. and his grace is sufficient. You need to start viewing yourself as he views you. Put out that anger towards yourself and embrace his grace and his love and his mercy. Roll up the window and keep him moving, right? We have to master our anger. We have to deal with it, put it out. So with that said, what do we do with the sanctified anger, right? Kind of a concept a lot of people maybe don't talk about too much or not heard too much about, but there's that sanctified anger, those things that grieve and anger the heart of God. So what I'm going to challenge you to do with the sanctified anger is to fan the flame. Keeping up with that same theory there of or thought process of a candle or a flame, when you fan that flame, it gives it life, right? It gives it energy. We're going to fan the flame on that sanctified anger. So for you, what is that sanctified anger that God has put in your heart? What is it? In the world we live in today, there is plenty of things that grieve the heart of God that should also grieve our hearts. We should have that sanctified anger. So what is it for you? Maybe for you it's poverty. Right? Maybe it's poverty. Did you know that there's 48.8 million Americans, including 13 million children, that live in households that lack the means to have proper nutrition in their home? They don't have food on a regular basis. They don't have that. 48.8 million. Here in Louisville, in our own city, right? 13% of the kids that attend JCPS are considered homeless. Let that sink in. 13% of our kids in our city, in Jefferson County Public School System, are homeless. That's roughly 12,000 kids. Maybe for you it's the child welfare system. That's something that's near and dear to my heart. I've been working in the child welfare system for 11 years. What a lot of people don't know is there's 18,000 plus kids that are in out-of-home care right now in Kentucky. That should grieve our hearts that there's 8,000 plus kids with no family. Maybe for you it's disease. The fact that there's 36.7 million people in our world today living with HIV. The fact that there are millions and millions of children that die every year under the age of 5 from preventable diseases. That if they just had the means to very affordable interventions, vaccines and things of that nature, that wouldn't be the case, but there's millions that die every year just because they don't have the simple basic things that they need. See, this should grieve our heart. This is that sanctified anger that we should fan that flame. Maybe for you it's addiction, right? You've grown up around or been around addiction. You've seen how toxic and destructive it can be, and you have a sanctified anger towards addiction, not towards the people that are addicted, but just towards the fact that addiction exists, and you need to fan that flame and do something about it. What is your sanctified anger? I would hope and pray that every single person in here has a sanctified anger about what occurred in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago. I have a sanctified anger based on the fact that I was talking to my daughter Friday night about going to the Louisville football game with me yesterday, and she said she was afraid to go. These were her words, "I'm afraid to go." And we said, "Why?" "Because there might be a shooting." My 10-year-old daughter, that's terrible, but that's the world we live in. And we have to fan the flame of that sanctified anger to make a difference. See, that grieves the heart of God. And it should grieve our hearts too. And he has put us here and placed us with this passion, right? With this message, with this mission, this hope that is in him that we need to take to this world around us. Be that light into this dark world. We can be that, but we have to fan the flame of that sanctified anger in our lives. So what is your sanctified anger? What is it? Let it drive you, whatever it is. Let it put you on mission. Let it keep you focused. May it motivate you to do the work of God. Man, we are so blessed, and it's so humbling that God uses us, fallen, ridiculous people, that he uses someone like me who snapped back at someone in a parking lot of the mall. Yet he uses me to take his truth and his word into the world. And we have to deal with our anger, that sinful anger in our life. We have to deal with it, and we have to put it out. And we do that so that we can then fan the flame of our sanctified anger. Let it drive us. Let it motivate you. So today, I challenge you to make the decision to no longer be sidelined by your anger. Don't be sidelined. Don't be off mission. Deal with it. Don't let it fester. Deal with your anger. Put out that sinful anger and fan the flame of that sanctified anger that he has given you, that he has placed in your heart, that grieves his heart. May it grieve yours as well, to the point that you take action and do something about it. Let's pray. God, again, we are so incredibly thankful. God, we're thankful for your truth. God, the fact that you give us your word, that we have this beautiful book, Lord, that it contains your living word, God, and your truth that we can use as a roadmap to guide us, to direct us, to know how to deal with things like our bitterness and our worry and our anger, God, so that we can move past that and truly be a light in this world, God. And may we embrace that mission. God, may we do the work in our own life that we need to do to be closer to you, to serve you, to reach those who don't know you, God. Break our heart for that. Break our hearts for the people that don't know you, God, for the people that are lost and hurting. God, may we be moved to action. So we continue in prayer this morning. Maybe you're here. I mean, you've never stepped over that line of faith. Maybe you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe it's because of anger in your life. Maybe you've got something, some anger that's towards God or towards other, you know, Christians or whatever, someone that's wronged you. And because of that, you've just pushed God away. I'm telling you, put out that anger today and come running into the arms of God. I mean, he loves you. He's crazy about you. He loves you so much that the Bible says that he sent his one and only son for you to shed his perfect holy blood so that you could be made new, so that you could be made right with him. And he did that for you. He's calling you to him today. If that's you today, man, don't wait any longer. Just run into his arms. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead, that you will be saved. Put our faith in him and we believe that he died on the cross and rose for you. You confess that you have flaws and that you're not perfect and that you're needing a need of a Savior, and you just run into his arms. So again, if this morning that's you, man, don't hesitate any longer. If he's speaking to you right now, just come to him. Confess and believe. I promise you it'll be the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. When you come into his arms, into his family, you're a new creation. The old things, man, those are passed away, they're gone, and you are a new creation in him. And if that's you, just call out to him today. Confess and believe. Maybe you're here and you're a Christ follower and you've been a Christ follower for a while now and you realize that you've got some anger in your heart. Maybe you have a tendency to spew it out there or you have a tendency to suppress it. But either way, it's leaving a trail of destruction everywhere you go. It has you sidelined, off mission. Not focused on the things that you should be focused on. Not making the impact in your community and in this world, in this city that you should be making. That God has called you to make. because you're sidelined and distracted with anger. If that's you, put it out today. Put it out. Put out that sinful anger. Don't carry it no more. Get rid of it. And it's not easy to do. But thankfully, we have God on our side who can do all things, can heal all things, can make things right. So you rely and tap into Him today to help you put out that sinful anger in your life. And then embrace that sanctified anger, the sanctified anger that He's placed into your heart. Just embrace that. And fan that flame and go make a difference. Reach the lost. Love the unlovable. Bring love and healing to the broken. Be Jesus in your community, to the people around you. That's what Jesus was about, and that's what we should be about each and every day of our lives. But we got to move through the distractions of anger, bitterness, worry, things like that. We have to get rid of it so that we can be on mission. So you do business with God today as He leads. You do what it is that He leads you to do, and you speak to Him. And as you do, you can stay right there in your seat, and you can pray, and you can do business with God. Or if you'd like to come forward, we'll have some of the leaders up front. If you would like prayer, you can come and have some of them pray with you or pray for you. We just want this to be a fluid thing right now. So if you would like prayer, you can come forward. If you want to pray right in your seat, please do that as well. God, we thank You again for Your love and Your mercy. God, may we be a group of people, God, of Your people, of Your body, Lord, that is on mission, that's not sidelined. God, that's not a group of people, a group of believers that are angry, God. God, may we put out our sinful anger, God, and may we fan the flame of that sanctified anger that You've put in our hearts, God, that we would go and make a difference in this world, or that we would be Your voice and Your light in this dark place, God, in the darkness, that we would shine through, Father. And we know we can only do this through You, Father. So may You do that work in us, God. Lord, and again, if there's anyone that doesn't know You in here this morning, God, I pray that You would continue to speak to them, Father, and that they would turn their life over to You and they would confess that they need You and believe, God, that You are who You say You are. In Your name we pray, amen.